y'all. You're listening to Spiritual Freedom Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie. I'm glad you made it. So this is a safe space where we get to talk about anything and everything spiritual and metaphysical, but we're going to talk about it without the judgment, without the fear or religious guilt, and without losing any credibility. So let's open our hearts and our minds, and let's talk about the weird without being weird about it. On today's episode, I'm going to explain how I started talking about spirituality with my kids. Now, this is not a large and wholly encompassing discussion on spirituality and all those deep dive questions that we as adults have. This is literally kind of like how I just put my toe in the water about how to connect my kids with Source. And please know that this is still a continuous thing. I'm not claiming victory. I'm not saying that I am the expert. Listen, I'm very much a student to these little teachers. But so far, after being in this for 4 years with them, I've seen some really good results. I mean, I am not promising that there won't be significant therapy bills in their future, but maybe not so many. Seriously, if any of this helps you guys out and think of an approach that's best for your family good, use it, and I wish you the best. Thanks for listening, y'all. Okay, for those who are listening on the podcast, I just wanted to remind you that you're going to be hearing an audio of me having done a video. And I'm publishing the video on YouTube, and I'm just realizing now as I'm listening to this and about to hit publish, that the audio with the video that I originally made it with is much quieter. So I apologize for this, and for future shows or episodes, I'm going to have my microphone going at the same time so we get better audio for you guys. So I just wanted you to know that I've noticed this problem, and I'm working on it. A little bit of growing pains here, so thank you for hanging out with me, despite the technical issues. All right. Well, here's back to the episode. Thanks, y'all.
Hey, y'all. So I'm about to start our first full podcast on something on this YouTube channel, and then I'm going to use the audio part for my podcast. We're just going to see how it works. This is going to be different. So, as always, thank you for listening as I figure this shiz out. For today's episode, this is a little bit about parenting. I have two kids. They are 17 and just turned 13. And I really kind of, I'm still in the middle of it, right? There's good days and there's struggle days. When I kind of think about things, and I think we do this as parents, we compare a lot, and maybe it's good that we do. We can compare a lot to how we were raised. And I feel like I have a really open household where the kids can talk about their beliefs and have space for them to have different beliefs compared to mine. Like, I've explicitly said to them that when I talk about religion, or spirituality, I should say, really. This is not religion. That these are my beliefs that I have grown into over time, and that they are not required to believe in them, but they can take them as some, information, and they can decide what they want to do with that. If they want to believe and if they want to tweak, they can tweak. Like, it's never been a, this is the way, this is the only way kind of presentation. Like, which is what I got kind of growing up. So I kind of did exactly opposite there. I'll caveat that, like, within the last 4 years, once I became more spiritual based and less dogmatic, I definitely had that approach. When I started my kids, I brought them up in church, preschool, Bible camp, or the preschool was usually religious, was Christian based. We did Bible camps, all sorts of things. Let me qualify this, that I definitely had my first approach with my kiddos until they were about probably 8 and 12, in Christian based, they go to Sunday school when we went to big church, that kind of environment. And so 4 years ago-ish, five maybe, probably more like five, I started talking to them about, hey, mom's changing, mom's questioning some things. And I think because of their ages of being around 8 and 13 or 8 and 12, I did tell them, and I could tell them, I felt honestly about, hey, I'm searching too. I'm trying to find answers. I'm living what feels like the question. Like, what is this question of, like, why we're here? Who is God? Why do bad things happen? All those really tough stuff. Like, I was telling them, like, I'm trying to figure it out too. I'm trying to figure out why I'm here. Why does the world work the way it does? Like, the big questions. And I can't remember where I heard this. I'm sure it's from some poem, from something about living the question. And oh, how funny. I'm looking at my face. So YouTube gets the fun part about looking in my face and getting to see these odd, like, rosacea spots that show up. I don't know why. I just meditated earlier, got up, and then just started, you know, doing this. So anyway, if you guys are only hearing this, it's kind of funny, but just imagine a little cute little pink cheek. One out of two cheeks is, like, really pink. Anyway, this is the distracting part of having a video. But anyway, doesn't matter. But the whole point is that I think I had initially, and I didn't love hearing this when my older one would be like, hey, I want to kind of talk to you about something serious and promise me you're not going to get mad. And I'm like, sure, no problem. I won't get mad. I'm like, oh shit, what's going to happen next? But then she was like, well, I don't believe that there's a God. And this was about 5 years ago. And I said, that's okay. It's okay to question. I remember as a kid, I was really seriously, like, totally focused on this. Like, I got out the Bible. I wanted to highlight, you know, what God said, what the Holy Spirit said, what Jesus said in different colors of highlighting. So I could kind of really get an idea for rules. And I wanted to, like, oh, it was such an analytical little attack on the Bible, but it was like, I was going to approach the Bible and figure things out, you know, kind of thing. Because the way I was raised, it was very Bible-centric. But anyway, and I question it because there are things that just sounded like mean to me about God. Some stories in there that just felt like very retribution-y, revenge-y. And I was like, this doesn't feel right. This sounds like a man's story. Humankind kind of came up with the story to make us act right on something. Like, this just sounds wrong, you know? And so anyways, yeah. So when, you know, my kiddo told me about their questioning, I remember having this inside panic moment for a little bit, to be honest. It took me a while to kind of realize that was panic and being like, they have a different mind. They have a different spot. And I've always talked about God, at least even with the being in the dogma at the time during the, you know, Christian church attendance. And like, how can they not even have that coming out of that experience? And I realized I just had to give them space to feel what they want to feel, to change, to pivot, to question, to talk to me about the questions. And like, my response was going to be really a big clue to them on whether or not they felt safe to share. So I had to, like, immediately, you know, quell the panic and be like, okay, well, let's talk about this. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to hear my thoughts? Where are you at on this? Do you just want to say that to me and get it and give that space? Like, where are you at? So I guess I'm telling you all this because I think in our homes, it's helpful to have this receptive, open, non-judgmental place where we can question, we can vent those fears, we can vent those, yeah, those insecurities. And if you're raised like me in a household where it was kind of declared and expected, and, you know, confirmation was a big deal in our Methodist church when I was growing up. So, for my parents, so they wanted me to do that. And that was not an inside thought thing. Well, I was pretty pious. I think I probably wanted that because I wanted to feel some healing. So I probably sought that as much as they did, but it was definitely pushed. You know what I mean? And I love them. I don't mean to dog my parents. That was their approach. And so with my kids, I really took intentionally a much lighter hand. And I'm glad for that looking back. Now, there's moments because I can get a little like, what do you mean you don't believe that? Let's talk about this. Let's argue with this. And, you know, let's examine this. And I get a little too cross-examination-y with them. My attorney hat comes on and I want to do that. And I have to realize maybe they're just in a space to talk and they're not in a space to want to really get into the arguments of it. So I have to watch it. But, and I think I can be judgy. It's just like every other human. So I just try to, you know, really stay away from that if I can. And then when I noticed I was judgy, circle back and be like, yo, I'm sorry. That was totally judgmental of me to make that comment. Like, you're allowed the space to be who you are. And you're loved exactly as you are. Like, you're fully loved and accepted by God. And like, just like whatever you end up resolving with, just know that cosmically you are just loved, just and accepted as just who you are. Like, that was a big thing for me about 4 years ago. Like, just setting the stage on kind of like the energy of like how I was and you know, what trigger kind of, you want to control this and you can't. You have to let go. You just got to be cool with it. You just got to know that it's going to work out for the best, that they're smart beings. You're figuring it out, your piece, and like, let them figure out theirs. We can't dictate that on them. And, you know, this is kind of a huge multi-layer subject. I mean, when we're talking to our kids about our relationship with God, and we're talking about like how we feel that's working and like what we feel like how the energy works in life and like how the world works and why things happen and all that kind of those discussions, we're really reflecting, I think, A, how we were accepted by our parents a little bit and loved or not acknowledged by our parents to whatever extent that is for everyone, because we all have human parents. And then we kind of use those wounds a little bit in this dynamic of how am I accepted and loved by Source. So when you're creating these, I would say these discussions about God and doing that, like really evaluate, are you coming from love? And does this energy feel constricted? And see if that kind of just makes you kind of examine, okay, where did that come from? Where would that energy have come from in my experience? And usually the first examination would be likely your parents. And, you know, did you feel really critically judged by them? Did you have a perfection status that you had to kind of like meet all the time with parents? You know, kind of demanding, but you know, that was their version of love, but like demanding or critical parents that, you know, certain things were markers of success or perfection, which then means godliness. So then you kind of like approach God like as a meritocracy kind of thing. Like, what did I do that was good, instead of just being worthy by breathing? And that was my, so when I kind of put my little, I guess, examination together for my kids about 4 or 5 years ago, I wanted very much to get away from meritocracy with God, that I wanted them to know that in their absolute state right now, you know, everything, this, just the way they are loved and accepted, and they're worthy just by breathing, of this divine connection. And I felt like to get through this world, that was probably the most important belief for them to kind of really become rock solid in. I didn't give a crap about anything else. I wanted them to know that every day when they wake up and they realize that that breath of a new day has dawned, like they are loved and precious and connected with the divine. Like, that's what ultimately I decided to be like, I want that belief as much as I can, encourage them to examine that and to feel that and to cultivate that. And then I felt like, you know what, if they decide that that's like through Buddhist practices or Wiccan or going to Catholicism, or they go to any type, like I really didn't care as long as they knew that. Which may sound strange to a lot of you. I, in my own examination, I have this on a different podcast about how I do not subscribe to a savior type situation. Like my value and my preciousness and my ability to have a return ticket is already done. And it's done by the fact that the nature of my soul came from infinity, heaven, source, however you want to phrase it. and it's here with me in this little experience, but it's like a bungee cord waiting to take when my time is literally done here in the physical presence and the meat suit experience is over. It's the bungee cord that goes back because that's where it came from. There's no question where it goes. It's going back there because that's where it came from. It was timeless to begin with Source. Here I am now. One of my many layers is the soul experience, which is timeless. And that's the part that actually I identify with during this human experience. I try to attune into. And then that's the part of me that goes right back. Now, there's a lot of nuances there to that, but to me, that was just, it just meant like that knowledge in general was important to me to put it, to explain to my kids my position on that and to see if they could kind of feel the, any divine truth with that. And if so, you know, great, because I feel like it gets that inherent belief helps get us through a lot of shit that happens here. And this is how I saw it play out. And forgive me on YouTube for using Kleenex, but it's like allergy season here for me. So you're going to see me dab my nose. But yeah, so, and I didn't even have like a huge, like, this is my plan. And like, if I sound all analytical and perfect right now, really kind of a lot of it was like, a divine intervention that this worked out well, because I don't think my human planning would really, work out as good. So this is what I saw happen. And now I've seen about what, 5 years pass and seeing the benefits. And I'm really, I don't want to be proud, but I'm relieved and I'm happy to see what I've seen. Because I can see that they really believe in their inherent goodness and value and that they are connected. They may not know what, they might believe it's like energy blobs in the sky, ET, I don't give a crap. They just know that God is really good and loving and peaceful and they are from that. And they are that because they're from that. And they're returning to that because they're from that. And they just have so much less to fear right now. And I love it. I just feel like that was a great way to start for my kids. So here's how I actually did it when it comes to like, you know, how I explain things. Besides being honest about me being questioning this whole thing too and being unsure and being honest about that, which I think is really huge. Like we have to be real with our kids about like, this is kind of like a dicey thing. Shit happens. I have to look, stop and reevaluate. Oh God, what does that mean for me and my belief system? Ugh. My belief system, and that's okay. It's totally okay. And that you're going to be led to the right, like, guidance. And then, I've taught them how to kind of, on my belief system, how I actually, what I feel like is tune into my divine guidance. But you have to know that there's divine guidance within you before you kind of start doing that. So here's what I did. Okay. I sat inside them when they were kids, like I said, they're about 8 and 12. So age appropriate discussion here. They already knew that our physical being has an expiration. Like, and I always would tell them, like, I feel the human experience is like multi-layered. Like we have our body, you know, here's mom with the, you know, 5'5" Dr. Pepper eyes body, you know, brown hair body, you know, that kind of thing. I said, but that's not who I think I am. And because I have other layers, I have my emotional side, you know, that can just bubble up. It's just something it's a body of me. It's a layer of me that I have to be aware of and take care of and all that sort of thing. I was like, I have my mental mind body, which is, you know, can tell me, oh shoot, you know, be scared. I'm at the deep end of the pool. I can't jump in when I know it's safe and I know how to swim and I need to be able to do, you know, that kind of like, you know, I had a little bit of a discussion of, you know, you got to see the mind separate and the separate, because have you had those moments when your mind will tell you something and it's not true? So you got to see that as a separate existence so that you can examine those thoughts. And so that's why I saw it like as a layer. And I've talked to my kids that the mind is actually a separate layer of our existence. So, okay, so you got physical, emotional, mental, and I talked about, of course, the spirit or soul body that's layered in here. And then I also added in, which probably isn't a huge discussion here right now, but I told them it's a special thing that we are here actually on Earth. And so we have this beautiful symbiotic kind of like relationship with the earth itself, with the animals, with the plants, you know, with the elements. Like that is in itself something to pay attention to, and that you can kind of exchange with, and it's energetic and all that sort of thing. Cause like, that's just my personal belief system. So anyway, I talked always about, and that's what I call a five layer dip. It's the five dimensions in play. Yeah, it's cheesy. It's just, but I'm cheesy, and that's the acronym I came down with for my kids and for myself. But going back, so I said, so the soul's the most, well, in my belief system, the soul is who I actually am, because the physical didn't exist before I was born, right? But before, I'm like, here I am up in heaven, up in source as a soul. And I decide in my belief system that I'm explaining to them, that somehow I decide, because of, I don't know, creation or the idea of being part of creation, being part of growing and learning more lessons, I splinter off and I come down in my soul is, I don't know if you want to say a part or all of your soul, depending on your belief system, you might feel differently. I feel like it's a splintering, that I have like a higher soul part, and then there's a splinter within me that's within this experience, that's who I am, that's showing me who I am and guiding me and that sort of thing. That's in my, you know, my within my body experience. And that is literally where I put my identification. Like that's who I am. I'm not this body. I'm not the emotional body that can change and get swept away. I'm not the mental one that can be afraid of something and say things to myself that aren't true. I'm not those things. Those are layers I have to evaluate through this, I guess, heart-centered kind of soul. Because I feel like the soul layer is kind of like connected to our heart center. Like I feel like there's some sort of like special energy right here in our heart that's actually the, like the pivot point where all these layers really kind of come together. That's for me, based on nothing else other than my intuition. And that by having this connection point within us, and knowing that when the physical stuff is done here on Earth, the meat suit's over, that soul does remain and goes back up, like return to center. It's going back up to heaven where it came from, or source, or whatever you call it, the next dimension, whatever. And I told the kids this. I was like, so that's why when anyone dies, and if great grandparents die or anything, they actually can come and help us, because they're in this dimension that's eternal, and can, it's not the same as like here, where we're limited to what we see, hear, and feel, and touch, and the senses. Like it's this intuitive sense that we actually can engage in within our human experience. And that I have personally done that, because at that time I had done some mediumship stuff, and I told them, hey, I know that this is real. You can still communicate with them. Like that existence is real. Like this whole return to center thing, and then you're there on the other side and be able to help here, like other loved ones, like that's real. So yeah, I'm kind of jumping through a lot of like things that maybe you, as you're listening, you're having a hard time agreeing with, and that's okay. I felt like I had a lot of movement personally. I know we're talking about the kids stuff, but I just want to say I had a lot of belief movement. I guess clarity is what I would call it, when I did do some mediumship practice, and I realized that dimension is real and that you can engage with that. And that just blew my heart space wide open. So I say that coming from someone who, very traditional parents, very logical upbringing, engineering dad, stay-at-home mom. They're very Lutheran and Catholic in their kind of approach to religion. You know, I don't want to speak for them now. They're changed beings now, but very dogmatic. And, I was a finance degree and, you know, very much that kind of logic based. And then I became an attorney. I mean, I was in that world for so many years. So it's like for me to be saying this, that I believe in this other dimension because I've had experiences as a medium and doing mediumship readings. I'm telling you that very truthfully from my own heart space. And maybe I'll say this. I would suggest people to take a mediumship course, but there's a certain time and place to be taking these things. There's something about moving your heart space to believing that you can engage with this and that you're worthy of that engagement. And there's certain healings in your heart that have to take place first. Okay. So anyway, going back to my kids. So I would have this discussion about that the soul is really the interaction place and the real part of like who we are, like, and because it came from God, it's all these beautiful things. Like, so there's this, like I said, I told them it's like in your heart. And I would actually, I said, it's like a little container, you know, sphere, ball or box, whatever you want to call it, the container of God that has this soul connection, like who you are, like inside you. Like I said, it was right here behind your heart space, you know? And I said, so all the wonderful things that you think are true about God, they're in you. And so therefore they're true about you. So as kids, I'd be like, so what do you think about God? You know, oh, that he creates things, that he, you know, that he loves us. He's patient. He or she is patient or kind, because we don't do the he pronoun exclusively with God. So we always kind of mix it up. They, them, he, she, anyway. Anyways, so we're like, yeah, and God is like God or goddess. We even kind of gotten to that point. Now we say that, but like, you know, loving, funny, patient. I was like, okay, all these things are true about you. And healing and loving and yeah, all the good words, right? And so I'd be like, so what, tell me about your God container. Tell me about God's truths that are inside you right now. And then, you know, my little kids are just kind of like, oh. And my older one was a little like, eye rolling. Yeah, please. But, you know, they did it at the time. They did answer me. And, you know, so at the time they were like, you know, I'm a good writer. I'm pretty sarcastic. I'm pretty funny. you know, my younger one is just be like, I am really friendly. I am. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a great artist, you know? So we would take time, and this just wouldn't be one discussion. This would be like quite often. Like I felt like at the time I probably did those little nurturing talks at least like once a week with my kids. So tell me about your week. Oh my gosh. You know, and any kind of sort of like good thing that they told me, be like, oh my gosh, you're the mean C that's in your heart space. That's your truth. That's the truth from God about you, that you are artistic, that you are intelligent, that you are brave, that you are kind. You know, we just kind of reaffirm it like every, however often, like, I don't know. It felt often. So there you go. I'll throw once a week out there, but I'm just like guessing and just saying it felt often. So what I think helped is they then had this visual conception of something divine being literally inside of them. And so as what would typically happen within, you know, middle school and elementary school stuff, like they would come back to me and be like, you know, this jerk said that I was stupid, you know, and be very upset. And I'd be like, okay, let's examine that. Is that your truth? Remember your God container? Like, is that true? And they'd be like, no, of course, right? I was like, okay, well, that guy, you know, whoever said it to you, they weren't speaking your truth. So you reject it. And then we kind of then would practice, in, you know, a visual rejection of that energy. Like, I was like, all right, so push that. You think of it as gray cloud. Now get that gray cloud like out of your space. Now push it back, return to center. It's going back to him. I was like, hopefully angels will touch it and lighten it up. So that person gets healing. If you can be nice and say that. Sometimes it's like, just return that shit to center. You know, what a jerk, you know? And I mean, hey, we're all human, right? It's a spiritual journey. So I also wanted to acknowledge, I understand wanting to just return that shit energy back to them. But I was like, try to just see your angels, just touch it, turn it into glitter and it going back to them, but it's not yours. And it's not your truth. And then let's, you know, we did protection imagery. So then I'd be like, okay, and strengthen your bubble. Is your bubble back to like rainbow? And is it clear now? Do you feel that? Like you are loving, you are kind, you are all these things. And then it'd be yes. And then it'd be like, they felt better. And again, it's this going inside. They didn't have to like go to anybody to like, I mean, I was kind of the discussion point, but like it was them to turn their energy and be like, you're right. That's not my truth. And I just like this pivot point to go within. And it gives them spiritual confidence and just, I mean, self-esteem, quite honestly. And I think our kids need it. And it just happened to be a really good visual that helped build that up over time. And so often now, I mean, it doesn't happen as much now that my kids are getting older, except for my middle school kiddo. I mean, like, middle school sucks. So anyway, but I was just, you know, like, so when they go to school, I'd be like, you know, protect your bubble. And that means like, and I'm getting this from, by the way, some other wonderful people that I have learned from. One is Psychic Teachers. It's all one word. And they have a podcast. They got a Facebook page, too. And they're wonderful. And so that whole bubbling idea, I want to say I got it from Samantha Fay there. So, and I think it's true. This is energy work. It feels like imagination and silliness, but you're actually creating a belief system and this energy of belief. And this energy of belief pushes that bullshit out so you can like be like, yeah, that didn't bother me. And it works over time. It literally works. It just sounds silly, but that's how energy movement is. It's like with vision, with the imagination, with the visualizations and these beliefs, you start walking in a different way. You start believing that you are worthy of certain things. You start believing that I don't need to take on crap energy when it comes my way because of, you know, this built up self-esteem. And so anyway, I would do that with my kids. And before they go to school, you know, toughen up your, you know, get your bubble clean. Is it strong? Yeah. Okay. I was like, all right. Like, remember, other people's bad energies are not yours. So they would have this bubble, and the bubble, all it is like a you know, protective, energetic, like bubble, so that love and light comes in, friendships, good things come in, compliments come in. But anyone's negative energies, the whole gamut of that, it's not for their kid in particular to take on that energy, especially if you've got little sensitive souls that pick up a lot of energy, right? Like they can be so sensitive and they'll pick up everyone, they'll feel bad for everyone. It's wonderful, but they have to know how to manage that. And so this was like part of that also too, them learning how to like care for things, but also not put it in your bubble so you're not carrying it around. You can send love and light in this bubble. That works too. it's kind of a little protective thing. Yeah. So anyway, it was just basically, it created this good system over time where now, I mean, I've seen it from my 17-year-old in particular. They can just be like, yeah, that's not my truth. And they're saying this, you know, as they come in, they're like, ha, this idiot, like, did this in this class toward me. And like, I know that that's not my truth, Mom. Don't worry. Like, shit. Like, they almost want to say it quickly because they know I'm going to be like, you know, that's not your truth, right? And just the mama bear comes out immediately. And my younger one, too. And I also hear them now talking about, just recently, how much that they are just, that they notice certain friends just don't think they're worthy of like love and good things to happen to them. That kind of like expectation of like goodness. And that is another point, important layer of this like God container. It was like, you're worthy. Not only are these good things true about you, that is your inherent nature that we're always just trying to attune into so it comes out, right? Because when we wake up, maybe our mind or emotional bodies are a little funky, but it's like once we attune into this space, we're like, okay, I'm peace. I am kindness. I am, you know, I am love. And then you kind of get more, that's like where you want to focus in and become for that day, right? But like my kids, my younger one has been noticing in particular, like certain friends, especially middle school, it's just really, really hard where they don't feel that. And they can really tell that there's a dissonance there with their energy. And they will talk about noticing that. And that's because they know that they do have it. And I'm not going to go into this. It's not this judgment thing. And like, oh, look at me. I've got my love together, my self-love together. It's more of like this, like, my mom, my heart hurts for these other kids that are just like, they're hurting, you know? And I think it's beautiful. I won't go into more of like what we've done to kind of talk about that. But yeah, it goes beyond just, but the system, I think this idea of them having focused onto this God container about the truths, about that they, all they have to do is breathe to be worthy of it. Like the moment they had first breath, done. Ticket return ticket to wonderful infinity land is already done and paid for. Like they just have to keep attuning so that they bring love and light here, right? And so that part was important. And I told, so like, again, like when people say crap, they know to compare it to themselves, to their God container truth, and be like, no, this isn't true. I can push it out. And because I had also, when I talked about this God container, saying like, so remember, this container is indestructible. It is fireproof. It is bombproof. It is like floodproof, anything. Like you can throw knives at it, anything. This container can never be destroyed on what those truths are. It can't be destroyed by other people, even teachers, people that you know, respect. I don't care. Can't be destroyed by them. And most importantly, it can't be destroyed by them, by how I feel about myself, right? So what if my emotions get a little funky and I start hating myself? That was important for me to talk about with my kids, so they realize that this emotional or mental stuff that can kind of pop in and be our worst enemy, I got to compare that to my box, to my God container, inside those truths. And so then I know when I hear and feel that about myself, I'll be like, no. This is like, I believe in the soul and this inherent connection and goodness. And I can't destroy that even with my thoughts and my feelings. Like it helps them kind of recircle. I can't say it saves them from all depression or anything like that, because they've had down days. They've had, you know, down time periods too. But I think it has given them some, I don't know if it's just a foundation of support, some spiritual moxie, I guess, with the crap that they get from third, you know, outside parties. But I just really didn't want them hating themselves, and to eliminate that experience as much as possible. And I even told them from the beginning, like, yeah, I mean, even you cannot, like, you might think something or feel something by looking in the mirror. Oh, I don't look good. You know, that's not your truth. The truth is that you're beautiful, and you're beautiful by breathing and being alive. And I know it sounds simple, but I think that one was kind of like a real important thing that I've had to like round up, you know, go back to over time. That, and I don't just always be like, you know, in their face, well, is that your truth? You know, there's ways of kind of checking in with them when you realize they're kind of down, to be like, so what's going on? And, you know, kind of getting back to this, like, okay, well, sounds like your emotional body's having a hard time. Probably maybe X, Y, and Z is happening exteriorly that's making you kind of take this on toward yourself, that maybe that's not your truth. And they'll be like, yeah, I know it's not. I'm just letting this, you know, emotion kind of go through. And then we talk about, you know, okay, so let's do self-care to get out of it. Let's do like, you know, do you need a bath? Do you need, you know, a relaxing bath? Do you need to take a, you know, a comedy movie and go be by yourself for a little bit and just laugh? And do you need, you know, I'm a little snacky. So I'm like, do you need snacks? Do you need to eat? Not the greatest thing to always go to for comfort, but it's in my repertoire. I use it. So, do you need to walk out in the woods? Do you want me to go take a walk around the, you know, the block with you? That kind of stuff. But so, yeah, like this whole thing is just, worked out well in terms of like being able to help create an introspective practice for them, and to kind of have a mantra that they repeated over time before a crisis hit, which is good. and then when the crisis hit, to kind of be there with them, to kind of, you know, let them acknowledge their feeling and realize that that has to pass. You know, and I understand you got to go, you're feeling that. And, but, you know, eventually getting in the right manner, in the right way, you know, of them kind of having that moment of, is this my truth? And it's been working for me. Like I said, I feel like knocking on wood so far. I'm not nailing the parenting thing. Like, I'm struggling with just getting dishes done. So, but there are certain things that I have seen pop up where they've responded, and you can tell that they've really taken this in, and they know they're worthy by breathing. And that was really important to me. And they know that there's this examination between their thought body or their emotional body that might overwhelm them. And they know to examine that through a soul thing of like, okay, but is that truthful? I'm overreacting. I just need to kind of like give myself a little time. And then I'm going to figure out the pieces on why I'm reacting the way I am in terms of either emotions or mental thoughts that are not helpful. Right. Like, so we've set the stage for that. And yeah, man, I hope it helps. And pray for me in my parenting. Because I don't have it down, but I'm trying. All right, y'all. Well, thank you for listening. And my heart goes out to every one of you parents who are just trying. I get it. I know Spirit sees us trying. I say that every damn time on this, that I make a video, because it's true. That's huge. And then honestly, I think some of this stuff is really good for us to practice, you know, these examinations, like what do I believe? So I hope it kind of helps bring some more peace to you and healing. All right, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.